Production. Recorded live.
Hello, everyone. This is Carl Shinneman, president and founder of ReviewLess and a friend of Jurinov, and welcome to another edition of ESI Bytes, where we offer information from national speakers on electronic discovery at a price everyone can afford, which is free, and available whenever they're interested in listening to it, which is whenever you hit the download button and decide later to hit play on your iPad, iPod, your computer, whatever device you're downloading the show to. Today, we have a real interesting show, which I'm thrilled to be doing. Back in August this year, 2011, I was at the ABA ALI conference on technology and law, and on the first day during one of the sessions when Maura Grossman and Bennett Borden were talking about advanced analytics, Adriana Linnaire stepped up to the microphone and made a startling observation. She identified herself as a technology trainer for law firms, and that while the topics were extremely interesting that Maura and Bennett were talking about, they were way over the head of her clientele who are learning how to cut and paste on computers. And frankly, it takes a lot to distract me from a high-level presentation on eDiscovery analytics, but Adriana had me completely hooked with this idea, and I immediately thought, podcast. So we talked about it and decided, despite her crazy schedule, training schedule with lawyers at large law firms throughout the country, we would find a date, which we have now, that worked for both of us. To describe Adriana, Adriana Linnaire launched Law Tech Partners in January of 2004 to train law firms on maximizing their use of technology. Prior to launching this business, she spent 7 years in the technology departments of two large Florida law firms, Broad and Cassell and Ackerman Centerfit, where she was charged with establishing firm-wide training programs and technology development initiatives. She speaks frequently at national conferences and regularly writes articles for legal technology magazines, newspapers, and e-zines. She also spent 3 years on the planning board for the American Bar Association annual tech show. So, Adriana, thanks for joining us here at ESI Bytes. And why don't you start out by telling us how you got started offering technology training to attorneys?
Well, I think it was a series of fortunate events. I got out of college and didn't really have a job, and somehow I landed a job at a New Horizons Computer Training Center and heard about this law firm that needed a trainer. And, of course, I said, well, I don't know anything about law, but I guess I'll try it. And I got the job, and then I called my mom, and this is one of the funniest, like, conversations in the history between me and my mom that she actually remembers more than I do. And she loves to tell the story because here I am, 11 years later. But I said, Mom, I got a job. She's like, that's great. When are you going to move out? I said, well, I don't know if I'll be able to because it's at a law firm training people how to use their computers, and I have a feeling I'll be done in like a year. I mean, they can't keep learning forever. But I seriously just could not have been more wrong.
That's great.
Yeah.
So
that was it.
So you finally moved out. That's
moved out.
You found more clients. That's the other way to doing it. So
yeah. No, I did. I spent 7 years at these two big Florida firms, and I learned really, it was just awesome. I learned everything about the practice of law. I didn't learn anything about the business of law. I learned everything about the business of law, how to run a business of law, how to help, operations and management and the IT department and accounting. I learned all about how those factors in running a successful law firm work. I never learned anything about how to practice law. I mean, they've got that part figured out. The lawyers know how to study, analyze, apply law in a positive way. They got that part, and I just figured out how to do the other side. And then I went out on my own a few years ago, thought, I could probably do this at a broader, wider range if I go out as a kind of a consultant and independent. And here I am today.
Well, that's great. What is the average attorney who you see the competence with technology? Since I know you're not seeing the ones who really get it, I presume, but you're getting people whose base of knowledge is a little bit deficient. If you want to talk about that type of experience.
Sure. So what I typically see is an attorney who knows how to send and receive email, maybe add some attachments, do some minor editing to documents if there's a document management system, involved in the law firm, they can usually find documents and open them, save a new version, send it to a client. But, you know, just to be brutally honest, and I get told every once in a while that I'm a little bit irreverent in the way I talk about this. And, you know, to be brutally honest, most attorneys don't know how to do very much with their computers other than those very, very basic things. And then to make matters worse, most of the support staff just knows how to do a lot of things to get by, and a lot of the things that they're doing, they've been doing the exact same way for 10, 11 years and not really getting better or more efficient or learning new skills. It's just a skill set that sticks. And then it gets caught in this interesting sort of catch-22 because nobody knows what anybody else should know because there's no one walking around saying, well, you should know how to do that. You should know how to do this. You'd be much more efficient if you did this. Your client would probably appreciate if you sent this way instead of that way. So it's just, I do every once in a while get an attorney that I still have to teach how to cut and paste. I have one attorney just a couple months ago that I changed his life by showing him how to change the font color in a reply to an email.
You're cracking me up here. I got to tell you, when I started practicing law, I moved from a large accounting firm into a law firm that was in the middle of an accounting malpractice case with, you know, 300 deposition tracked. I spent, you know, 5,000 hours of my life in this massive case. And I was the one who knew how to use PowerPoint. This was back in, this would have been back in 96. And I was building PowerPoint slides and was like the caveman, you know, seeing fire for the first time. And here I was scared to death that I didn't really know anything about law because I practiced accounting, or I pretended I was a lawyer at the accounting firm, large accounting firm, Pricewaterhouse, for 2 years. And then I went to the law firm and they treated me like an accountant that knew how to use PowerPoint. I was always just a step and a half ahead of everyone is what I thought. But yeah, no, these tech tricks, you know, are considered amazing sometimes. But I think this is just really interesting because when we talk about the battles of e-discovery and these newer analytics that are out there, I was just at Georgetown at the e-discovery conference and they were presenting vector probes describing how buckets of words basically combine together and are trained. And have you ever taught anyone about vector probes?
Are you kidding me? It must have been a room full of e-discovery specialists, litigation support specialists, lawyers that must practice in that field. But there's no way, and I obviously don't know where you were, but there's no way an average set of attorneys was sitting in that room. And if there was, they were totally clueless.
Well, it hit about 3% of the room, and actually one of the judges even said, "Please, can you help get us back to the topic?" By the way, it was excellent material. I followed it because I study this area, and it was compelling to me. But it wasn't English, and that's one of the problems. So let's go back to your typical assignments at law firms. You know, do you do classroom or individual training? Is it usually one-on-one?
All those. Generally, it kind of depends on the size of the firm. So I work with anyone from a husband and wife team to McCook, Nebraska, to some of the largest law firms in the world that send me, you know, to their Madrid office because I speak Spanish and they can train me on the system here and then send me over there. So my assignments are very broad in range. But a typical, probably my sweet spot is mid-sized firms that don't have an in-house trainer that are introducing a new technology, or really the hottest thing happening right now is got all these firms going to Office 2007 and 2010, and we'll do that in either a classroom or a presentation style way of learning where they're watching me and looking at the screen. If the firm is, you know, lucky enough to have hands-on computers, that's great. And then every once in a while, of course, there's going to be the attorneys that can't make it, the attorney that was out of town, the secretary, you know, who was sick that day, and then I'll do one-on-one with them. And I'm doing a lot more webinars just from my office and offering those out, so that's been really great. And I've noticed a big shift. I was just talking to this about with the new IT director at Steptoe Johnson, I think, good friend,
mm-hmm.
Andy Adkins, he just became, I think he's the IT director. I'm not exactly sure what his role is there, but he called me to talk about training and some ideas he has there. And I said, I've noticed this really big shift over the past couple of years where there's this newfound interest in training. And, of course, that's because Office 2007 and 2010 came out, and firms are going to it because it's time, because they're getting new computers, because, you know, for all the different reasons that they're going. And they're actually wanting – they need training at this point because it looks so very different that, you know, after 10 years of sitting in Office 2003, they realize that, you know, they've got to give their people some training, which – no one ever really bothered to do that when we did the original shift from WordPerfect to Word. So it's kind of interesting. So that's kind of the typical assignment these days, is helping firms switch or do the upgrade. It's not so much a switch from 2003 to 2010. And it's actually very easy. It's been really great. And I think the most surprising thing for all the firms that I've been training in lately has been how many times I say during a Word, an Outlook, a PowerPoint, or an Excel session, oh, and by the way, this isn't new. This was in, you've had this for the past 10 years. And I show another thing, and I hear an audible gasp. Oh, that's awesome. That's great. And I'd say, yeah, that's actually not new either. That's been there for 10 years.
Yeah, most features, people don't. They use what they need. You know, typing, saving. And then, you know, a little bit of editing with fonts, things like that. But that is sort of amazing, the pace of change and holding on the older packages. You know, in eDiscovery for a number of years, there were some very good packages that came out that were desktop driven, which firms would now have the ability to save their documents and use these tools and handle cases. The problem was they were desktop driven, so the ability to maintain them as there were updates required updating every desktop.
Sure.
They weren't really web-based systems. And you hear stories of firms that continue to try to make these systems work with the volumes of data that were out there with multiple concurrent users. And you know, now I understand more. You know, once you learn a tool, it's hard to give it up, even if you know, the basic infrastructure is wrong for eDiscovery for even modest size cases. So that's interesting. I never thought about that before.
Well, it's pretty typical. I mean, you know, something like summation, which I see, of course, pretty predominantly in a lot of law firms, attorneys don't go to summation training ever. I mean, really, and you know, I'm speaking really broadly at a really big level. I'm sure somebody's listening and they're going to say, well, I'm an attorney and I went to summation training, or someone will say, well, our attorneys go to summation training. Well, thank God, because most of them don't. And then they ask crazy things of the software. They don't know what it does. They don't know what it doesn't do. They just assume it will do, you know, that it's the magic button. And then they'll ask for things which aren't reasonable, and that frustrates the paralegals, and then that gets to the office manager, and then it's, well, how can we do this? And it becomes, you know, a crisis.
So that, I mean, this explains quite a bit. And then, you know, you raise another interesting point about the decentralized nature of who knows what. That really makes it hard to provide overall training to everyone, I would imagine, as a trainer. Do you need to find your allies at the firm to say, hey, look, we're going to try to roll this out to everyone, or you just pick the ones who are interested?
Really, that's kind of how you have to do it. You have to just give it and pay attention to those who are interested, and those who don't want it, well, that's fine. You know, if I can get to 18 out of 25 attorneys, I feel like I've done a really good job, and that firm is going to see an improvement in efficiency and effectiveness, and their billable time is going to increase. You know, one of the biggest crimes in not giving attorneys and paralegals and secretaries good training on any system is the colossal amount of money that is lost or not made or not billed on searching for information, whether it be that they're stuck in an old system and they don't want to upgrade because it costs too much and no one's going to go to training, or because they literally just don't know how to search for things. I mean, document management systems are really popular, of course, in mid-size and large-size large firms. And I think if you were going to pick, if you were going to point to one thing that document management systems are really good at, it's finding the document you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And I see people not finding the documents they're looking for over and over again because they don't know how to do good searches. So then explain to me, if you can't find the documents you're looking for in a document management system, how am I going to teach somebody how to use summation? They can't even sort their inbox, much less sort a bunch of summaries in summation.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't train summation, so let me just put that out there. I don't do any litigation support training, but you know, I see the side effects when I do have to partner with a summation trainer or figure out how to roll in summation into some general training programs.
Yeah, and you know, actually, in a field like e-discovery, I differ a little with some of the judges that have come out rather strongly on the need for all lawyers to understand about e-discovery, because I'm a realist. What you're saying shows me the challenge of getting all lawyers to get to this level of technology. I just think you need some lawyers within a firm that are the go-to people that understand this, but they need the power to make intelligent decisions instead of having to convince other lawyers in the firm this is a smarter way to do it, which is where it usually trips up.
And, you know, the other reason that is such a good idea is because so many law firms spend thousands, hundreds, tens of thousands of dollars outsourcing a lot of that work because they either don't know specifically what to ask for or they don't know what they're capable of doing in-house with a few well-trained paralegals. So they just outsource it. And then they expect their clients to pay the crazy number that, you know, comes from a litigation support company. So I think there's value in outsourcing those things, but I think where we're missing the boat is being able to manage internally what we're asking for.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, you aren't seeing the litigation support professionals or I would think heads of e-discovery who grasp these concepts fairly well in your training sessions. But do you feel any empathy for these trained professionals who do understand technology as they try to get their stakeholders at their law firms to embrace newer technical ways to search for ESI?
Oh, absolutely. I completely feel their pain. And, you know, it's a very hard battle to fight sometimes because, like I said, people don't know what everyone should know. And the amount of, again, it all comes down to billable time. The amount of billable time that we're not, you know, billing for because of this lack of basic understanding, education, information about the technology resources that they have at their fingertips.
You know, I think part of the problem is, and I'm trying to put my lawyer hat back on, but I remember when I practiced the days that the second most unhappiest day as a lawyer is when they're killing themselves and they have no time to come home and they're working 12, 15-hour days and they're extremely busy. But by far, the most unhappy day is when the big project ends and you have nothing to do. And you know, so I think part of the problem might be this thought that if I'm not billing, I'm not being productive. And training is not really billable. It's an investment. You know, I was reading recently that there are a number of large firms that are training their associates to actually how to practice law, which is something law school really doesn't do real well. And I think it touches on the same problem that, you know, we got to get out there and start working.
And, you know, it's amazing what just 15, 20, 30 minutes of training will do. I remember when I first started, we would torture people for sometimes 3, 4, and even 8 hours of training in a day when there was a big conversion going on. And I stopped doing that and suggesting that and promoting that years ago. They can't. You know, you've got to do it in small chunks and attack a skill. How do you create a table of authorities? Come in here for just 20 minutes, learn how to create an automatic table of authorities so you don't have to keep doing it manually. And that's all the time we need today. And that really helps. I mean, that's part of the problem with getting attorneys to go to training is they think by the billable hour, and if you tell them they're going to be gone for 2 hours, they simply can't. But if you tell them you just need 1 hour, that's all, or half an hour. You know, they really, they'll come, and like I said, I've just noticed this shift that more and more of them are getting more interested in learning how to use these tools, and I think it's a side effect of new technology, more mobility. Clients are asking for different stuff, and it's just a shift that I'm starting to notice and very happy for it.
Are you seeing, you know, I'm going to stereotype here, but, you know, part of me thinks that this might be people that were, you know, not part of the recent wave of tech tools that now feel like, oh, my God, iPads, iPods, I got to learn this now. Is this mostly, you know, generational of people that need the training, or are you seeing this in also younger lawyers?
You know, that's such an interesting question, because every administrator that I talk to about training will say things to me like, well, you know, we're going to have the older attorneys that you're going to have to do this, this, and this with. But the younger ones, I don't even think they'll need to come to training. And I think, seriously? Do you know how they're teaching law today in law school? Basically, the exact same way they've been teaching it for the past 100 years. So if you think you're getting an associate that understands how to use a case management system, or how to use Outlook efficiently to manage their email, or how to search for a document in the document management system and find it the first time, you're out of your mind. What they're good at are keyboard shortcuts. They understand the internet. They're not afraid of a web-based program. You know, you have certainly more interest in using technology better, but they don't necessarily know how to use technology better.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I've tried to. So many people think the young lawyers are the savior of e-discovery, and I disagree completely. I've tried for the last 6 months, 5 months to get a website up for law students to collaborate and share their interest in e-discovery called Law Blog Review. And I've worked with a couple law students. It's free. You know, it's a networking site. It's a place to promote your passion in a space where there's a shortage of talent. You would think that in a tight job market that people would flood to that. I mean, that's how I got my first job. I was a Carnegie Mellon MBA at a law school, and I realized there were very few Carnegie Mellon MBAs practicing law. So I went to the alumni office, and I interviewed every single alumni I could find. They got written up in the alumni news, and I got a job with a nice, large law firm with a lawyer I had interviewed. It's called networking. Okay, so I thought this website would be perfect, a great way to fill this gap and get the younger generation in. You know, we haven't gotten a single person to sign up for this. I've emailed 35 law professors, and, you know, so it comes back to the point that I think that you're suggesting, is that law school is basically taught the same way it's always been taught. Law students need mentoring more than anyone, and people are very unsure. They don't want to make mistakes. And so if we expect the young generation to be different from the current generation, you know, you got to look. They're cut from the same cloth.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you.
So, interesting points. You know, do you think this is a field of technology that is trainable, or do you think you have to have a passion to be really enthused by technology? And the reason I'm asking is many of my guests on ESI Bites are leaders in e-discovery around the country within their legal organizations, and they often tell me sensitive stories about their first PC, which is typically very bulky and not in existence anymore. It's like a badge of honor. And, you know, so when I look at that and I look at what you're describing, do you find training works?
Oh, yeah. And it totally works, and especially with lawyers, because they're really smart.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not stupid if you're a lawyer, and I say that to them all the time. You know, they'll come up to me and they'll say, you know, I just can't get this technology stuff. Sorry I didn't come to your session. You know, and I just look at them and I go, you are a million times smarter than I am. And I don't just say that to, you know, to kiss anybody's butt. It's actually true. Every single lawyer I meet has to be smarter than I am, or they wouldn't be a lawyer. And I just look at them and I go, you know, that's really not true. This stuff is actually really easy. And sometimes I'm embarrassed at how easy it is and how much money I get paid to show people how to use it.
Well,
I mean, I'm always the dumbest person in the room, so it's kind of funny. So I think training definitely works. But I do think there has to be maybe not a passion, but an interest. you know, there's got to be an interest in understanding why you have to sit through this, what the business value is in understanding this and applying it. And then if passion, you know, sparks from that, that's great. But there just has to be an interest. And there has to be, when it comes to training, I say this all the time, a very likable and empathetic person at the front of the room. Because attorneys don't want to sit around. They don't want to take their busy time with somebody that they don't trust, they don't like, they don't have an interest in spending time with. And that's a really important part of training attorneys and paralegals and secretaries. Because either paralegals and secretaries, especially paralegals in a litigation support world and an e-discovery world, really matter. And it's, you know, it's the same rules apply.
We sort of covered this with a vector probe analogy or vector words that I described earlier. But when we were at the ABA ALI conference that we both attended, there was a lot of talk about e-discovery, which is a space where you have electronically stored information, which can be emails, it can be documents, you know, Word documents or WordPerfect or spreadsheets, and someone's got to go out and capture this information and put it on hold someplace intelligently so it doesn't disappear, then assess it for its likely value in a case, review it, mm-hmm. identify your privilege and information, redact out sensitive information, provide it to the other side. And using this bucket of information, the CSI, can involve discussions about metadata, cost analysis of what should be done in a case to maybe make the retrieval easier or more proportional, negotiating with the other side, and having frank discussions with clients about legal risks and proportionality of the strategy that's involved with the risk. And do you think your clients, not the overall legal community that focuses in this, but your clients are generally ready for this world, or do we need more heavy-duty training on technology acceptance at law firms? And by the way, I believe your clients probably could be trained on this. I'm just saying when you're coming through the door.
Yeah, no, it's not that there isn't an interest in the technology. I mean, law firms will spend a lot of money on technology because somebody somewhere decided they needed it, whether it's a technology committee or the firm leadership or, you know, an attorney or a bunch of powerful staff that say, you know, we need this. So it's not that they don't have an interest for it. It's just that it's a matter of – sometimes they think once they buy it, okay, well, now we've got it. People are going to know how to use it or they'll figure it out. So it's a, you know, it's a catch-22 sometimes if you don't have somebody leading the cause as far as let's get this in here, let's figure out how to use it, and then, most importantly, how can we serve our clients better because of this?
Yeah, I think it's trainable, and I think the secret is getting someone in place who's passionate about it and then using them as a resource and letting them get more and more trained, but keeping your door open and dealing with that person because they're the ones that are making the investment that the real busy lawyer may be intimidated about, but they shouldn't plunge along without using that person as a resource. That's the biggest complaint I hear from lit support professionals at large firms is getting their lawyers to work with them. And, you know, I think it's the nature of the beast. Very smart people who have been successful doing what they're doing.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more.
You know, I mean, I'm trying to think of the barriers that we're facing, and I think we identified a lot of them. So, you know, the other problem is that I'm concerned about here on the show is again not that tech savvy lawyer. I'm also concerned with opposing counsel. You know, the stakeholders in a law firm who might be the first chair in a case and are clueless on technology and how do these people, how do the tech-savvy lawyers and technologists that understand this fight through this indirect hurdle to get these other people more observant about their needs to overcome some of their technology deficiencies?
You know, it's really interesting when you mention opposing counsel or sometimes even co-counsel. Oftentimes, that spark that, you know, creates a little fire under somebody's technological rear end comes from seeing how successful, how easily, how efficiently either opposing counsel or co-counsel was able to manipulate information and data. And it's always in court. So it's not, you know, I don't get a real estate attorney that comes back to me and says, hey, I just met this other real estate attorney, and boy, could he pull up that agreement really quick and get it all done. It's usually, this just happened last week, actually, at a firm I was at in Virginia. This attorney, he's young, the youngest partner they have, came in and he said, you know, I'm wondering if you might be able to help me with this. I was just in trial last week, and the opposing counsel had all of their documents on their iPad, and they had a small box of papers with them, but I think he only reached into it twice. He says, you know, we should really be able to do that. How can we do that? And that's normally what causes, you know, you're not going to get an attorney that typically walks into the IT director's office and goes, hey, I've got this great idea. We should start using technology better. It's because they see someone else, and it could be a client too, using it better, and it becomes a, why aren't we doing that?
Huh.
So, you know, right back to trying to find somebody who's passionate and interested and wants to sort of lead the cause, that's an important part.
Well, the final question I just started asking, and we'll tie it into your field, is, you know, being that you're a national expert in the training of lawyers on technology, what do you see as the biggest technology issue facing law firms at this point in time, which I think is November 23rd, just before Thanksgiving, 2011?
There's, I think, two major issues right now. The first one is the same as it's always been and will likely be for a long time, and I'm not just saying it because it's a trainer, but it's really lack of training. And then the other thing is we're going through a shift. So we're shifting from Office 2003, which we've all had and been very comfortable with for 10 or 12 years, to a new version of Office. And we're shifting to a lot of web-based solutions. And thirdly, okay, I can add a third, more and more lawyers want remote access, mobility. You know, the eye devices have really opened up their eyes. So all of a sudden there's this interest, but the problem with it is there's a lot of change at the exact same time that interest has peaked, which kind of sucks. It's almost like a perfect storm because it's going to scare them. And I don't mean that in a, you know, in a, oh, boy, attorneys are going to be scared of technology, but it's almost overload for an industry, you know, a profession that has been so against technology. All of a sudden it's coming at them really faster than it has been in the past 10 or 12 years with the cloud solutions and mobility and, you know, internet is amazing and good and solid as it is all the time. So now not only are they going to have to kind of really focus on learning some stuff, but they've kind of got to learn a lot. And that's going to be the biggest barrier. But if you've got in your law firm, you know, a training resource that can call out only the things that are really important are going to matter the most, that's really going to help. You know, when I do an Outlook session for attorneys, I don't teach them how to send and receive emails. I teach them 10 things that I know from almost 12 or 13 years of experience they don't know how to do, and it's going to make them more efficient the second they go back to their desk. So whoever the pioneer and the leader is, they've got to be able to sort of nitpick and, like, cafeteria style say, well, we've got a lot of stuff going on here. 2012, new operating systems, new Citrix Farm, new Office, and they want iPads, and Macs, boy, now they want a Mac too. You've got to have somebody that can wrap up the 10 or 12 or 20 most important things that every attorney in that firm needs to know how to do and show them how to do it, and that's a great start.
Interesting. I want to thank you for joining us here on ESI Bites. Adriana, it's been great to have you on the show. It's always a pleasure having experts like you share your knowledge with us and our listeners, and hopefully we'll be able to do some more shows with you later this year.
Sure, I'd love to. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'd also like to thank our sponsor, Jurnov, for their continued support of ESI Bites. And to the listeners, if you've enjoyed this podcast, I'd encourage you to go to www.esibites.com for a complete list of our show. You can remember the show and website phonetically, because that sounds out as Easy Bites of ESI information. So however you choose to remember us, come to ESI Bites, learn more about eDiscovery before ESI bites you back. This is Carl Shinneman, President and Founder of Review Less, wishing you a nice day.